Begin transmission.
You are listening to Corellian Run Radio, your route through hyperspace to the latest news on Star Wars: The Old Republic.
Hi, and welcome to Corellian Run Radio. This is episode 149, recording live, Saturday, July 26, 2015. My name is Jason. I'm joined by my co-host Heather. Howdy, Heather. How are you doing?
Hey, Jason. It's Sunday. Sunday, July 26.
So what's been going on? What have you been up to?
Oh, my gosh. Tagruta. 3.3 dropped, and so I made a character, and I've been leveling her. I'm already, like, level 30-something, and I feel like, God, I didn't even start it, like, the day. Well, I haven't even played, like, every day, so this has been a lot of leveling for me. Operations with my guild, of course. We cleared Tor card mode, finally, in the Ravagers operation.
Yeah, I know. I've got your picture up here. The beating hard.
Yeah. So that was really cool that we did that. And so we raid later today in a couple hours. So we're going to start working on Master Blaster, hopefully. I think someone saved the lockout. So we can just start working on that. But otherwise, well, we can probably just go beat him again because we did it before.
And you can do it again.
Yeah. But yeah, I made an operative. I only have a sniper. I never made an operative, but I do have...
Wait, what? Excuse me? You made a different class?
Well, you know, the operative, I'm playing it as concealment. It's kind of similar to playing with an assassin, just with the stealth and some of the abilities where you have to do it from behind.
I'm just totally, like, still stunned, shocked. What? This just in confirmed. Heather plays other classes. No.
I do. I play other classes all the time. I just only want to raid with one of them.
Gotcha. Well, that's cool. So, is that the Tagruta?
Yes.
Nice.
Yeah, I made a Tagruta. I made a female Tagruta.
Congrats. Nice job. That is awesome. So, what do you think? Level cap by next cast? It'd be 60 by next cast, you think?
Oh, yeah. Definitely. Yeah, I'm already halfway through right now. So.
Well, hopefully you guys will get through Master Blaster. I've seen some of that in hard mode, some of the positioning and stuff on that, so... Hopefully you guys will take that down soon. Let's see, I have been doing operations like crazy. Of course, I'm now over on the Harbinger for a bit. And we've been really tackling some of the classic ops and going through those for some decos with the new strongholds and everything like that that are out. So we've been going through those, running people like through some training ops and different things like that. So we're doing Group Finder and some different things like that. We're also running some of the hard modes, and we're working up to some of the nightmares, the old ones, because we want to try to get some of those timed runs for people who had not done that before. So we really want to get that, especially for some of the titles like the Terror from Beyond, the Nightmare. You get that under 2 hours. It's From Beyond, I believe, is the title, goes after your name. So that's kind of cool for your character name. And we want to get the Dragon Slayer, S&B Nightmare. So if you get that under 2 hours, so we want to go for, we're shooting for that. So that should be pretty cool.
Yeah, I know a lot of players are trying to go for that before the operations are boosted up to level 65 because, I mean, you know, not everyone is a genius, excellent raider, and that might actually be hard for them. So to do it right now where they have an advantage of being overleveled, I think that would be really good.
Yeah. Well, and then one picture that just flashed up that probably everybody will see is a picture of one of my toons that died on Tython, and I'm sure everybody's like, what the heck are you showing that for? And in the slide there, you see that one dead Jedi that died. Well, I'm also playing a Mortal Toon. A Mortal Toon, if we do in our guild, it's because if we don't think things are crazy enough, you make an alt, and a Mortal Toon is you play that character until it dies, and then you have to delete it.
Oh my God!
At any time, until you get to level 50. So
that sounds
kind of
fun.
It is kind of fun. So you have to, like, even fall damage. So, like, operations or you don't really do operations or anything.
So I'm guessing you wouldn't bring this tune into PvP.
No, in fact, you know, that's not one you bring PvP. So it's really cool. I mean, you're still doing flashpoints. Like, I did a flashpoint with one of my friends, and we were running it. I didn't think twice. You know, was it the Eslis, because on my commando, I wasn't thinking about it, where you do that drop down on the pipe. You have to land on the pipes.
Uh-huh.
Luckily, I hit one of the pipes because I was like, it dropped down. I like had just a sliver of health left. I was like, oh, no. But I can just imagine myself getting like to level 47 or 48 and then not getting the, because once you get level 50, they give you the immortal status. And so then it doesn't matter if you die. So then you can go into ops and stuff like that. But yeah. So that's one of the things I've been doing. So if I don't think things are crazy enough, so I've been making immortal tunes. So that's kind of cool. Adds a little another degree of fun. So. But then, let's see, on our show, we're going to be talking about, of course, you mentioned 3.3. Let me talk a little bit about that. And then, of course, I think we have somebody else here with us today.
Oh, yeah. We have a special guest, Ash, a.k.a. Lady Insanity.
Awesome.
Hello.
Welcome to the show.
Thank you.
So what have you been doing this past week, Ash?
Just a lot of catching up with a bunch of different games and video making. So it's been a really quiet week.
Quiet.
It's more of a quiet as in staring in front of a computer and looking at one singular program for the rest of it.
Gotcha. And, of course, we will be getting into a little of your video creation later on when we get into the interview section. But I think right now we're going to get into a little bit of our news and talk a little about 3.3.
From the NewsNet and beyond.
So yeah, update 3.3 is live. The Grand Togruta Celebration. And so Heather, you've made your Togruta.
Yeah. Like I said, I made a Togruta. Body type 2, yellow face, purple Montrolls, and she's really cool. She's an operative, like I said. And I haven't actually, when I was leveling, I thought I was going to see more Togrutas running around, which is, I guess not everyone, you know, wanted to unlock it or they were new players or something. And,
I don't know, you could go to Korban.
Yeah, I guess I should have been at Korban or something instead of Hutta. But I was watching Volk has done a bunch of Togruta videos already, and he had this really funny 5-second clip. He was walking around on Korriban, and he's like, that's not a Togruta. And, like, I just kept watching it over and over and over again because I just thought it was so funny.
That little 5-second clip.
Yeah. So I'm really happy with that. I made a female, not a male. For the male Togrutas, I feel like the length of the Montrolls was kind of disappointing, especially since we saw some NPCs in game with longer ones. But I've also seen pictures of Togrutas in, say, like the Clone Wars with short ones just like that. But I feel like they vary. I feel like they should have given you an option for the length and not just said, okay, well, all the males are short.
Yeah, I definitely agree. I made a Togruta myself, a male character. And I was kind of disappointed in that as well. Some of the options on the Montrolls as far as being able to change the length and stuff like that. And I'm wondering if that was one of the, because somebody alluded there might be a little bug with the Montrolls, and that was some of the delay on that, is because if you look into the, there's like a style and pattern color, style of Montrolls and pattern. And when you go through those options, the only thing that changes is the pattern. And I'm wondering if maybe that's something that they haven't got fixed yet, and that actually the pattern will tie into some of the length and stuff, so I don't know, maybe that's something coming later, I don't know. But yeah, I was kind of disappointed in that. Definitely some of the color choices tend to look better on the female Togruta than the male, but it's still kind of cool. definitely a new character, and it looks a little different. Did you try their social thing?
No, I haven't tried that yet.
It's storytelling,
cool.
Right?
Yeah, it's the tribal storytelling, and a campfire pops up, and it, like, for, I think it's like 900 seconds, your character will sit there and stand in front of the little fire, and it's kind of glowing on them, and they'll be, like, telling the whole story. It looks kind of cool.
Audio that of them actually, that'd be awesome, though. They had an actual story.
Yeah, that would have been kind of cool.
I kind of wish they had black Montrolls option. There's a dark brown, but there's no black. Because you know I'd be making like a black mantra, red face, Sith.
Yes. Yeah. I just knew you were going there with that. I was like, yeah, total Sith out. So that's the Zagruta. Ash, did you make one, or are you thinking about making one?
I looked at the options. I was planning to stream myself playing it, but it ran out of time. But the options for it, I'm actually really happy with it. Even with the jewelry, that there's not that much. At least you can alternate between silver and red, or silver and gold, excuse me. I ended up just testing through, and the, what is it? It's like a red-white version, and you put a gold. It actually looks really nice, but not on the male.
Oh.
Wah, wah, wah. Wow. Male tunes lose again.
Well, there's some other stuff in 3.32. I know we had some PvP stuff.
Yes, we did. We had some quality of life things, some good things that came out. They increased the XP and the credits. They doubled that, so I think that was a good thing.
Yeah, they increased... also changed the commendations. Now there's some commendations.
Yeah, there's no more ranked comms. It's all Warzone commendations. Now, you do get medals that are awarded, and that's kind of a little bit of controversy, too, because you use the medals to purchase some of the season rewards at the end, so it's not just by earning them, you actually can purchase them too. So, yeah, we'll just have to see how that pans out after this first season of ranked. We'll see how that goes. Then, of course, they've also lowered the cost of gear, which I think that's a good thing. So, and the other thing that I thought was really good, and a lot of my guildmates who PvP a lot thought it was really good, is how the Legacy Warzone combination grants, which come in at 100, 500, and 1,000 level quantities, you can purchase that and then send comms basically to your legacy, so your other tunes, you want to give them some gear for PvP. So I think they liked that a lot.
There are also some kind of bad things that happen too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Right now, Hutball and the arenas are not queuing
up. Not in the reg. Yeah.
Yeah, they're not in the reg queue right now still. So that's somehow a concern.
Somehow the PTS rotation they had for testing the regular war zones kind of ended up live. Not sure how that happened, but so right now you're not going to get your HUD ball fix at all.
And also they had some issues with the Season 5 ranked rewards. Apparently the armored Nexus mount did not go out properly.
Yeah, it went out to some people that probably shouldn't have got it. And then some of the people that did earn it, unfortunately, weren't able to get their next suit cat just yet, so.
I would be pissed.
I totally
sympathize with that. I think that's a horrible bug. You know, you worked so hard during the whole season to earn it, and then you see all these, like, tier 2 people getting it, and you're like, what the heck?
Exactly. So, it's like, talking tier 1. I mean, hello. This is not the bottom tier. Like, come on, give me my pet.
So I wish whoever was back there handling all the PvP stuff that they would just try to make it perfect for them, because the game is already kind of, they're not number one, you know?
Yeah, definitely that needs to be pushed up and get that fixed ASAP. I think I would definitely put that even above the Warzone rotation and then some of the other bugs and different stuff going on right now. Get them their rewards, Bioware, come on. They earned them, they're playing the ranked PvP the way it should be, so get them the reward.
On the bright side, there is a new stronghold on Yavin 4.
Go ahead. What did you say, Ash?
Oh, no, I was saying it is beautiful, and it is also extensive and crazy and expensive.
Yeah, it is kind of expensive.
Yeah, I went to a guildy stronghold. It looks like he unlocked everything. He had all kinds of cool decorations, and it's really cool. I mean, I'm not going to get one because I still haven't decorated my Drummond Koss apartment, but I mean, I can appreciate when other players make their strongholds look really nice.
Yeah, I've got mine. I got the first part unlocked. It was like 2.5 million. That was like, yeah. It's not that much when you think about, you know, running some dailies and, you know, different operations and stuff. You save up some money. But it's like, yeah, 2.5 million, just unlock it, and then you start unlocking like a hallway and stairwells, and it's like, this is really eating into the pocketbook. So, but it's really cool. I mean, I went to a couple of my guildmates who have theirs completely unlocked, and you better have a mount, folks, if you're wanting to go check out the Yavin Stronghold. It is big. It is huge. And a lot of the secret areas. Did you get to check out any of those, Heather?
I don't know if I saw a secret area. It looks really cool.
possibly a cave area.
Hmm. I don't know. I wasn't looking for it, I guess. I did like when you go all the way up and you see the ship down there, or, you know, you can put your ship down there. It looks really cool. It doesn't even look out of place the way that my guildie decorated it. So that was cool. And that was Azir in Despair on the Harbinger. Shout out.
Oh, cool. shout out. Yeah, I really like it. There's even a member from episode 4 where you see the guys in the little watchtower as they're looking at the X-Wings taking off towards the Death Star. And they have that little watchtower. You can actually click on a thing and go up the little elevator to the top of that and stand on one of those looking out over the Yavin moon. So it's kind of cool there. There's also, I will give a hint. I'm not going to give any spoilers on what to look for, but take your micro binoculars to your stronghold and just have a look around. There are some codex out there, folks. So, lore things. And so, Ash, what was your interpretation of the new stronghold?
So, I unlocked the upstairs as well as parts of the downstairs, including the one, what is it? There's like water dripping down on a statue. And it's like this like underground cave part, and I thought it was like the coolest thing. Like, the good thing about the entire stronghold is that there are hooks everywhere you turn, except for in a couple of like different spots, like that cave I mentioned. But it's like, it is so set for customization, it's ridiculous. But then now I'm like moving all my stuff from my old apartment all the way over, and it's just like a long progress, but I'm pretty sure I'm never going to use the Drummondcast apartment ever again. I'm officially moving. I really hope there's not going to be another stronghold for a while, because the Yavin 4 one is so detailed.
Yeah,
I mean, not to be like a crazy downer person, but like, I hope there's not another stronghold for a while so that BioWare can start working on some other content.
Hint, hint. yeah. I'm with you. I think I love the caves. I love the details and everything. I just think that in some areas, they kind of missed it. Like some of the pools, like there's like one, like the small green things that you can put something there. So, but my guildmate's like put a chair, like, I guess this is where I'm going to fish from or something like that, because there's nothing else like there. It's like just like one hook in the middle of nowhere. So some areas they put like next to none as far as hooks. So I don't know. It's kind of cool though. I do like the detail. I like how the fact it has the rubble doesn't look like pristine or anything like that. So definitely cool. So that is kind of my impressions of that. What's you guys' impression of the other thing in 3.3? Some of the healing. I know neither of you guys. Well, actually, Ash, do you play healer at all?
My main is a Sith warrior, so I'm a very DPS centric kind of person.
And Heather's not much of a healer or anything like that. She's killing things. She's stabbing them in the back.
Stab.
Maul.
Yeah, Maul and stab.
so yeah, I don't know. I don't know anything about that. I have seen that. No, never mind. I don't want to comment anything I don't know about. So yeah.
I've only started at my new Sork healer. Not really done much healing, so I just got her to level 20, so yeah, I haven't done that much with it. So at level 20, you still only have a few heals, so I haven't had much to say like this is better or such and such. I do like some of the feel on it. It seems like you can do a little bit more burst with it. Now, some of my guildmates who have Merc healers, they're not as happy with the patch. They feel like they took a lot away. It's like BioWare. I understand you want to bring the op healers and sword healers up, but now I feel like I'm doing a lot less, and especially some of the raids we were doing, they kind of felt like they're going to switch. I'm going to have to make a sword healer now or maybe an op healer.
Yeah, now, there's always going to be changes. There's always going to be someone that's better than someone else at some point. So, I mean, I think what you just really need to do is just play what you like and, you know, ups and just stick with it, ups and downs, instead of worrying about, oh my god, what's the flavor of the month now?
You're going to always have to.
I mean, I know there's people like that, but I mean, I just feel like to bypass all that feeling about being upset about it.
They weren't really upset about it. It was just kind of the feelings like, now I got to make a new one. So, and they did like the fact of the op healer getting the mobile heal, kind of like the sword healers and stuff like that. So, makes the operative a little more mobile like it always was in the past. So I kind of think that's a good thing for them. Mm-hmm. So all in all, I kind of think that there was a lot in this patch. Definitely highlighted some things that definitely need fixed. So hopefully they will get some of that worked out. And in light of that, do you guys have anything else to talk about 3.3? Anything you guys saw or wanted to mention?
Oh, no. Nothing else about 3.3.
How about you, Ash? Anything you saw or anything you would like to see maybe change, fixed?
Hopefully they change. They offer a little bit more to the models for the Togruta, but at the same time, like, thinking it might be bugs or an animation situation. So hopefully a little bit more customization on that end in the future.
Well, hopefully, you know, some of that more of that customization and everything that we're talking about will get worked out, because 4.0 will be coming around soon, getting here soon as soon. It's October, we'll be rolling around.
Yeah, Knights of the Fallen Empire is coming.
Yes, it is. And that kind of goes right in line with our guests that we'll be talking about in the community segment of our podcast here. She's kind of been, her and her co-host have been talking a lot about the Knights of the Fallen Empire and how they've been getting ready for that. So what's some of the things, you know, Ash and Heather, what are some of the things that you are excited for that you hope maybe the story's going in that direction, or just all in all, in the general, with the game, are some things that you're possibly looking forward to coming out in 4.0?
As a predominantly solo player, the story is obviously piquing my interest a lot, but the way that the developers described it was, and they were really enthusiastic the way that they were describing it, was that they took a lot more from previous Bioware games, from Coder, from Dragon Age Origins, from like all the rest, and they're implementing more into it. Now I sound like a PR thing, but to be honest, it's like, think like the way that companions have their own lives, that the story revolves less about things happening to you, and it's more you are the catalyst of different things that are happening within the universe. And I do like that. I mean, it is kind of like a, oh, you're the special one kind of thing all over again. But at the same time, it looks like they're really buckling down on making sure that it's not only a story that you can appreciate, but it's organic to your character.
I'm really looking forward to whatever they're doing with the companions. I'm just excited. Maybe I shouldn't say that. I know we're gonna have to be doing missions to get our companions back, and we'll be able to choose who lives or who dies based on our decisions. And I think it's gonna be really exciting to be able to play with that. So I'm not sure how all of that is gonna work, especially if you let someone die. If you're just gonna get another companion back, I mean, it looks like we have several companions to replace whoever we kill off. Like, we have Nico Okar, we have,
Let somebody die, or are you gonna kill them off?
Well, you know, I don't know. and it also looks like Alana Benico might be playing as a companion, like Ash saw at E3.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. The way that she does, oh gosh. Do I go into spoiler territory? I did describe it during my video, but Heather,
you have to close your ears. So,
oh, it's okay. Go ahead.
Okay. Well, she does save you in the third one, or she helps you escape, and she does act as a DPS companion. I don't know anything about whether she can tank or she can heal herself, but the way that it was is that she was a pretty strong dual wielding character during it. So,
she has two lightsabers, like she's a marauder.
Uh huh.
Why? No, I don't understand, because, you know, in everything in Forge Alliances, she is a sorcerer. She has one lightsaber, and she's using Force Lightning, and then all of a sudden she chooses another class, like...
Class change is confirmed. No, just...
It is possible that she was just... It's a situational thing, so she just has it for that specific instance, but...
Like, we have a Shara, but we don't have a companion that is just a sorcerer.
Well, maybe you will, maybe you won't have a Shara.
Ooh. Oh.
Well, what I mean is, like, we have companions that use double lightsabers, and we have companions that use two lightsabers, but we don't have, like, a, you know, just a straight Sork or Guardian type character or companion.
That's true.
I think for the time being, while you're, for the character, during that specific chapter, it's just going to be temporarily, she's taking the front as far as, like, attacking all the enemies while you get your bearings together again, because you are out of carbonite. She could stick as a DPS, she could stick as a tank, maybe. I don't know how it's going to work, because, you know, for what, however many lightsabers she decides to run with, but it might be just a situational kind of thing.
Yeah, one thing I also saw, or that I heard at the SDCC Comic-Con, San Diego Comic-Con, was when I went to the community cantina, I guess, because this was in your video, too, or in your comments, at least, and you guys didn't know the answer, but paid companions, so say you paid real money or you bought cartel coins to purchase companions, if you did that, then they can't take away those companions from you permanently, so they're not going to be part of any storyline that you're just going to kill them off and they're gone forever. They can take away them. They can take them away from you temporarily, maybe, but possibly when the story first starts, but they can't keep them away from you because you paid for them.
For sure. I just want to know whether they're, like, as far as that's concerned, like, if they're going to be implemented into story at all. Like, if you have that those characters unlocked, if you have Treek, for instance, and he pops up during one of the recruitment missions that you're going to be doing, because we are going to be recruiting back our companions at some point, and for whoever we choose, I'm not sure how it works on that end, but will they actually have their own story for it, or is it just, hey, he's back, and just call
probably
it
it's going to be,
it's
hey,
probably,
he's
hey, he's back.
Better it might be such a thing like, you know how you had to go to Fleet, and once you got that unlock, you had to go to Fleet and talk to an NPC? It'll probably be something along those lines. You might have to, maybe one little thing, you have to talk to a droid, or maybe communicate via, you know, the Ewok hierarchy, or the droid vendor, or something like that, for HK, or something like that. Now, the HK, as long as I don't have to go searching for those parts again, if I'd have to go on a short little mission, like maybe a couple planets or something like that, I do not want to search for droid parts, but I don't want to do that again. But maybe a short little thing for HK, that would be kind
of
cool.
What do you guys think of HK-55, though? I mean, isn't that going to be another companion? Maybe?
HK-55, he helps you whenever you're escaping and gets you onto the ship. It's not verified whether he's part of it or not, or if he can fight. Well, it seems like he can definitely fight, because there's a part whenever it's, gosh, I can't remember his name right now, but
Nico Okar?
No, he's the new guy. Voth? Cortana. Anyway, he's with HK-55, and whenever there's rescue, and they're fighting back a bunch of Zakuul Knights whenever they're trying to get a ship to commandeer, and they are combat ready, so I imagine both of them will be at least somewhat of a temporary companion at the very least, but that's how I see it.
Yeah, so it sounds like maybe when you first just get out of the carbonite or whatever, you might still be able to craft?
Maybe.
Because, I mean, for some people, crafting is their, that's what they do, and to just come out of this, how long is it going to be without a companion? They need to craft something, so I guess we'll see. We'll find out. Because I don't think Bioware would just completely inhibit you from doing that.
Mm-hmm. I'm trying to think. Yeah, it's only Lana during Chapter 3 for the beginning of it, while you're trying to get the heck out. So, but it's only a portion of the chapter. You'll obviously have more of your companions down the line.
Yeah, definitely it's going to be interesting how they do that. Now, for me, personally, when 4.0 comes out, I'm interested in the interaction with the companions and along those lines on the story and where that's going with that. But I am going to be curious on how this is all going to work back into the original one and where they're going to start taking us with that. Because, you know, I just can't foresee that Vitiate is going to be taken care of just yet. So I'm wondering how that's going to play into that and how they're going to address that and what direction they're going to take the new SWTOR universe, so I'm really excited to see that. That is kind of where I'm at with that. How about you guys?
It seems that the companions, it's going to be, you're going to spend a lot more time with the new ones, but it seems like a kind of pick and choose. So the way that they described the companions to us is, it's it reminds me a lot of how in Mass Effect 2 and in Dragon Age, where the companions are a lot more of themselves, they're more individual. They have their own stuff going on. They're fulfilling their own purposes. And them joining you is less of them being underlings to you. So I think that's where BioWare is going, as far as giving them more of their own, not just personality, but their own lives. So it seems a little bit more organic to the whole situation of, you know, they have their own minds, they will leave, or you can kill them if you want. And it's kind of like you have more authority over choosing whether to keep them, because they have more authority over their own lives compared to the class stories and, like, development of their own characters within the game.
Well, what I like to see is I hope they have some more interaction with the companions as far as, like, the side missions. I always thought that was something that BioWare should have, like, added in addition during updates, little side missions for your companions. And it's like the old companions, you only had, like, what was it, two or maybe three that you actually did any actual companion missions with. The others were just like, we talked to you a little bit, and that's it. You get the 10,000 rating, and okay, we're good. You never hear from them again.
I'm just really glad that they're doing something with companions, because leveling up, this is companions, that was my favorite part of the whole game, and plus the story. And, you know, once you're in endgame and you're doing operations and all this other endgame stuff, I don't ever use my companions again. So it'll be really nice to play through and, you know, have to interact with them again, and it'll be fun.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
On that note, I'm going ahead and let's go ahead and move on into the community bus and get to know Ash a little bit more. So we've been talking a little bit about update 4.0 and what our expectations are. And, of course, we've been talking with Ash, a.k.a. Lady Insanity, about that, because that is kind of her and her co-host job on their YouTube channel and the Empire Plus and all that good stuff. And we're going to get in and learn a little bit more about Ash and how she got into that, et cetera, et cetera. So welcome again, Ash. Good to have you. Good to have you part of the community.
Thank you for having me. I appreciate it, and thank you for letting me on Corellian Run.
Oh, yeah, we're super excited. So tell us about yourself, because I know there's a lot of podcast listeners that may not know who you are. So who are you? What do you do in the gaming community?
So my name is Ash. I maintain a YouTube channel under my name, or my alias that I decided to come up with when I was 15. And I dominantly do Dragon Age and Mass Effect content, but I've done reviews for other games. I've done a couple of guides for Skyrim. And other than that, I've done a lot of really different stuff in the gaming community and the industry as a whole. I worked for IGN and Treyarch for a little bit. I did esports for a very long time with competitive gaming. Like, I used to do Call of Duty, Halo, and all that, and StarCraft for a while before I called it quit. But, yeah, that's my life in a nutshell.
Nice. Competitive gaming. Cool. Mm-hmm. So now you're a huge fan of the BioWare games. What is, like, your favorite thing about the Mass Effect and Dragon Age series? And do you see BioWare bringing more of the elements in those games to, I think we touched on this a little bit, but do you see more into the games, into their MMO and SWTOR?
Yeah, it's one of my favorite things with both series. A lot of it goes into, like, the decision-making and the kind of strenuous, like, the entire stress you get with choosing a decision that is possibly going to mess you up down the line, and you don't know until you play throughout the entire game. That's always my favorite. But other than that, like we mentioned earlier, yeah, companions, your relationship with them, not only on a romantic level, but also your friendship and, like, your alliance or lack thereof with it, with any of them. Those are my favorite parts about BioWare games in general. And as far as Tor goes, they definitely seem like they're giving, like I said, more authority to them having their own lives and more control over their own lives, except for the whole killing thing. But,
so how long have you been playing SWTOR?
It's been scattered a lot. I did try it whenever the beta happened. So my account technically says 2010, but I've definitely gotten rid of my subscription, came back, got rid of it, came back. But I came back again right before, like, a few months before Shadows of Revan came out, and yeah, like, because of Dragon Age and Mass Effect, obviously, my schedule is, like, kind of thrown up there, but yeah, it's been a while.
I think what people need to understand is it's okay to play other games all the time. I think that's all I want to say on that, but it's okay to play other games.
Yeah.
What? Play other games? No,
just... What?
Yeah, no, I only play Swotorn, that's it.
Exactly.
And everyone that doesn't play only Swotorn, they don't know anything about the game. Right? So, okay, moving on.
Moving on. So what is your favorite class?
As far as story is concerned, it's kind of funny because I got a couple of crap for that recently, but I really like the Sith Inquisitor. And I think it's because I have a soft spot for Lord Zash, and I just really...
You have a soft spot for her?
Yes. I don't know. Like, she was just kind of like a really malicious woman, but she was really ambitious kind of way. I know she wanted to take over your body and, like... Oh, sorry, spoilers.
Oh, spoiler.
Sorry. And all that, but I don't know. It was just kind of like she's the defining thing of what I see in a Sith. As far as, like, what I make my characters aspire to. So I had a lot of fun with the Inquisitor. But as far as mechanics-wise, Warrior is my favorite out of the entire thing. And not only that, but I'm partial to Quinn, so, yeah.
Oh, God.
Oh, man. I know a lot of people don't like him, but...
You do know that's probably going to be the character most killed.
Yep. Because they're going to finally get rid of him.
Yeah. Now, I have to agree with you on the Inquisitor. Now, as far as story-wise, I think the Sith Inquisitor has probably the best ending, as far as the ending of Chapter 3.
Yeah, I mean, I could say what it is, but spoiler.
Yeah,
spoiler
I mean, alert. But, yeah. I mean, for me, I mean, I won't give too much away, but you at the end of Chapter 3 with the Sith Inquisitor, it's kind of like, yes, I am the baddest in the whole galaxy kind of thing. I mean, that's kind of how you get the ending of that. It's pretty cool.
We have a question from the chat room. Sork or Assassin?
Oh.
Sorcerer.
I'm yeah. Sure.
Yeah, I did try Assassin, but God, like, I cannot do it. I just couldn't. I have two Inquisitors. One that I ended up stopping because I could not get into Assassin gameplay. So I switched over to Sorcerer.
I guess it's just the... There's certain people that like Assassins and, like, nothing else. So what's your favorite thing to do in-game?
For me, a lot of it is just, like, going back to the different stories. Like, for instance, I made a new Jedi Knight, and I hadn't tried Jedi before. I don't like playing light, because it's... I mean, I played light on a warrior before, but I don't like playing light on the Republic side, because it kind of, like... It's so, like... Let's all hug, and you're so nice, and all that. No, I want to be rude and mean and aggressive whenever I want to, kind of thing. And people respond, I think, a lot more whenever you're on the light side rather than on the dark side. So, with that. But for me, I mean, like I mentioned, I bought Yavin 4. And for me, it's also a lot of, like, micromanaging items and decor and all that. Because Tor was the first game, MMO I played that you could have your own stronghold. You can have your own house. I mean, Phantasy Star had that, I guess, but you didn't like that one too much. But, I don't know, just having a home base where you could just call it home, even though there's not really that much interaction. Really dig that.
Yeah, that's cool. At first, I was kind of the mindset kind of Heather is. I was like, man, I don't know about this. I mean, I don't know that I'm going to get too into it, but I spend a lot of time, you know, hanging out in my stronghold and going out to other people's strongholds. And so I think they're definitely kind of cool in that matter.
Mm-hmm.
What about, tell us a little about Empire Plus and, of course, your latest, Nigel, the Fallen Empire YouTube videos. What do you got going on there?
Cool. So Empire Plus is composed of me and GamerMD83. Just MD. She's known also within the Dragon Age and Mass Effect fandom. We've done a lot of vids together for Dragon Age, and we're doing this again. Because after we talked to the devs, we realized that we wanted to share this information, especially since the others that were involved kind of sat on it. And we wanted to not only just talk about Knights of the Fallen Empire to people who have played Sworder for a long while, or played Tor for a very long while and all that, but it's also, we wanted to share it with people within the Bioware community in general, for those who play Dragon Age and played Mass Effect as much as us, and want to get into it, want to get into the story, and who maybe are kind of distracted from that because they think, oh, this is an MMO, I can't get into that, or I don't know how to play that in comparison to an RPG.
Yeah, so, I think it was an excellent idea for you to do a video about SWTOR, especially since you have the following with Mass Effect and Dragon Age fans, just to showcase, hey, this is the other BioWare game, and yes, it's an MMO, but there's a lot of things from the games that you like that you can also play in Knights of the Fallen Empire, and these are a lot of players that will possibly be added to the SWTOR population, and I think it's great.
Thanks. Yeah, it's because, like, MD, she, like, it's kind of crazy because she's actually giving me authority in order to build her PC for this. And it's like, I mean, I played Tor beforehand, and, you know, I really liked it. But whenever it was past the class stories, I mean, I played MMOs before. I raided in a really rigorous progression guild back when. And I couldn't do that for Tor because not only were the stories were pretty awesome, but I was just kind of burned out. But for me, like, I had that experience. MD doesn't, but she's really into story, and she adds a flavor that I can't possibly, like, pick up on. And I can be like, yeah, there's story and there's companions, and then also this is how it works with MMOs. So I think we mesh together in that sense. So we wanted to make sure that people could understand that if you're new, that's totally okay. You can just join us in that.
Well, I kind of picked up that vibe a little bit about the newness, especially from Indie, but also kind of the excitement you guys had when I was listening to the videos. Mm-hmm. It reminded me back of in the day when I got into the community, and that was even before the game was launched in beta. And, well, not before beta, but you know what I'm talking about. Before the game was officially launched and before people actually got their hands, a majority of people got their hands in playing it. It was just that excitement you guys had and talking about things, and I don't think it was like, anything like, hey, we know this and you don't know this or whatever. It was kind of like this of just your excitement and sharing it. That, when I listened to you guys' video the first time, I thought, that's cool. I mean, this excitement, that's what, you know, that's what drew me to this community and stuff like that. So that was definitely something. And so I've been watching your videos. And so definitely got a chance to have you guys on the show. That was awesome.
Thanks. Yeah, we're really, I mean, whenever it happened, okay, so I'll say it, like, whenever we were at E3, I was, like, she didn't get to see it then, but I did. And then I was the one, like, we were sitting down having lunch, and I just, like, spilled all the stuff that, I probably shouldn't have done that, but I spilled everything that I saw before I wrote, like, I wrote and did the video. And she was like, dude, wait, what? That's an MMO, though, right? Like, word for word. And she was, like, completely confused by it because we love BioWare games because they do follow a sort of formula when it comes to story and companions and everything else. And she was just like, shoot, because she's dominantly a console player. But then, like, over time, and whenever we talked to the devs together and all that, she was like, dude, help me with getting a PC. And it's just like, I hope other people do that too, that they join. Okay, I'm not going to say that PMR, but anyway, I just really hope that people, like, you know, are willing to try it out, to hop on PC and not just stick to console for the rest of their lives and get a different experience that most people don't get whenever you're on a console.
Yeah, and I think it's great that your video is helping to show the game to people like that, because I certainly know that when I first started playing the game, I played it completely solo, and it took me a while. I was at level 50 before I even tried to group with anyone. And now, you know, now I'm doing endgame operations and all these things, and there's all these new players coming into the game that will go through that cycle. And eventually, not all of them, but some of them will want to go through and do all of these operations and group content. And yes, SWTOR is still going to be an MMO.
Yeah, it will be an MMO. I mean, it stays as an MMO, but it has different... It's willing enough to risk adding a lot more of an engaging storyline and plot, and I'm really I'm hesitant, but I'm also excited about how BioWare is going to actually implement that into Tor. I'm very hesitant. At the same time, I'm also really excited. And I have a lot of expectations, which I really don't want to do because I don't want to be set up for disappointment, but at the same time, hoping for the best here.
So I know you talked about E3 just now a little bit. So what was it like being at E3 in comparison to other gaming conventions like PAX? Because I personally know PAX is for chaos. Players. Well, I mean, it's chaos. Those are for players, but I know E3 is mostly for press. So can you tell us a little bit about that and your experience?
Sure. So there are a lot of people that attend. It's not only just press, but there's also the way that they phrase it is industry affiliates. There's a lot of people who are involved with said communities, so they'll come to LA. There are also the developers, but it's a lot of the higher-ups as far as, like, publishers. A lot of them are doing a lot of different deals, sales, and all that jazz. As far as working as press, that's what I did. The stress levels are different compared to whenever you go to PAX or you go to any of the other conventions. Like at PAX, you're going through a lot of people in order to get where you need to go. There's a lot of different places where you can buy, like, there are a lot of vendors that you can buy different stuff. You can try games in there. At E3, there's a lot of games that you can try out that haven't been released yet. There's a lot of, not a lot, there's like a good amount of swag and like different things that you can get, but half of the people there are there to cover the game. Half of the other people there are part of the developers, the publishers, and all that. That, like, in the essence, I would say 70% of the people that are there are working, and the other 30% are there to enjoy and also occupy the lines and make everyone's life a little bit more hectic.
So now, what was it like meeting the SWTOR devs and getting the chance to talk to them and ask them questions and stuff like that?
Whenever I was there at E3, it felt like an interrogation room. It was six of them, Michael Backus and a lot of them were there. And it was really cool. They were really chill about it. They introduced all of them. That was the first time I ever met any of them. But it was really cool in the matter of that they were kind of like up in their seats, like being like really excited, but you can tell they're also like stressed out because they want this game to not only succeed, but for it to be well-liked by a lot of people, they wanted to get a lot of feedback. That's the best way I can put it. They really wanted honest-to-God feedback. Please tell us if it sucks. Please tell us if this is good. Please tell us if this is something that you would want out of the game. And that was the main thing taking out of meeting them. So they're really, like, trying to gather feedback from all different perspectives. That's the best way of putting it.
So what you speculate is the additional content coming out in Knights of the Fallen Empire that we don't know about yet.
Okay, so in the recent talk, the way that it was... So just to clarify, MD and I were not the only ones that are in this conversation. There were quite a few, and then there was also another one where it's all composed of people in Europe. But anyway, the way that it was is that one of the dudes that was in there, he asked about endgame content and whether we were going to get any more of it, you know, towards the ends of the chapters. And the way that the devs put it was, yeah, well, but we can't talk about it until before the release and before the initial release. So I'm more inclined to believe that it's going to be part of it. But at the same time, I don't think, because operations, it's not going to be an operation. However, I have a feeling that they're going to implement a mode where it's just going to offer a lot of different mechanics, and it's just going to offer some, like, crazy, I don't know, something we haven't seen before that, like, I'm also drawn to think that if we look at other games, like, if we look at Battlefront, if we look at Coder, and we look at all the rest, we might see something that actually might be implemented into Knights of the Fallen Empire. I can't say for sure, but that's kind of the feel that I'm getting.
I did hear about something that they just could not talk to us about at Comic-Con, at San Diego Comic-Con. Mm-hmm. Something in regards to the new planets being sanctuary or like Zioft, where PvP players can't even attack each other. They kept saying that there was something that PvP players were going to be happy about regarding that, but they can't really talk about it. Another person said it was going to be something similar to like a Flashpoint or something like that for PvP, but I don't know, and that's still a mystery that I'd like to hear more about it. And I wish they would tell us more about it so that people would think, you know, there's more than just the chapters, a new story coming out.
For sure. I mean, they're obviously, like, being really strong about the whole, hey, there's a lot of story, and there's all this and all that jazz. But I have a feeling that as far as the development process goes, they don't want to release. This is also a problem that BioWare, the ones that work on Dragon Age and Mass Effect, that they have a problem with. They can't announce anything until they have it working, that it's, you know, playable, and they don't want to announce anything until it's at that stage. So I have a feeling that they're getting it nailed down to the point that they can actually, I imagine they're going to show gameplay next. I think that's where it's going to be, that they're going to show gameplay instead of just talking about it. But I don't know if they'll do it. I know they're going to be at Gamescom. I know that's happening. And they're going to be at PAX Prime. So I think that's the next step where they'll actually show us gameplay. But I don't know of what.
Let's see. August, first weekend in August is Gamescom, right?
And yeah, then, and they're having a 2-day canteen. Well, I mean, it's not going to be like 2 days straight, but...
Two days straight? Wow.
No! It's probably going to be like 7 to 10 p.m. sessions.
What's... when's PAX Prime?
PAX Prime is August 28th. Mm-hmm. August 28th, and I'll be going to that. But if I come in... If the canteen is on Friday night, then I won't be going to that.
Now, so when I ask you guys, you think we're going to get any possible gameplay at Gamescom or PAX Prime? What do you guys think?
PAX Prime is probably going to be safer. Gamescom, they'll definitely talk about stuff, but I don't know if they'll show us anything. That's the curious thing. Because Gamescom is pretty much the PAX over there. Well, actually, no. PAX is definitely does not have the amount of players compared to Gamescom. Gamescom is like a riot of people. So, I don't know.
How about you, Heather?
Probably PAX Prime. I mean, I think, probably PAX Prime. I think it's too soon. Gamescom is like next weekend.
Or maybe they already have something ready. Never know.
Okay, never well, know. It's not next. Is it next weekend? No, it's like 2 weekends from now.
2 weekends?
Yeah, 2 weekends mm-hmm. from now. I think first that's weekend. Too soon.
Yeah. You never know. Never know. But I think we're going to head and go into what we like to call the rapid shot around. This is questions that you don't know anything about, Ash.
Oh, Jason, I don't know any of these questions either.
Ooh.
I sent them to you.
Oh, I don't have them.
There. I just sent them in your, there. Check on your Skype thing.
Oh, in Skype?
Yeah, send them to you, Father. Anyway, I can ask them.
Okay,
that's fine.
Thanks.
I'll bail you. Anyway, the rapid shot round where I'm going to ask you, this is a weird, I'm going to ask you questions, and they're going to be Star Wars related and SWTOR related, and what you do is just answer them as quick as you can. So you ready, Ash?
No, but let's do it.
All right. What is your favorite SWTOR playable species?
Oh, shoot. Cyborg.
Oh, nice. Cyborg. Male or female?
Female.
What's your favorite Star Wars film?
Five. Yes.
So now for everybody out there, that is Empire Strikes Back, right?
Yep, mm-hmm. That's the best one.
Nice. Good choice. Which faction, which I kind of guess, this Empire or Republic?
Empire.
Nice. Okay, you fit right on with this group. Which side of the Force? I already know this one, too. Light side or dark side?
No, I'm going to actually trip you on here and say light.
Ooh.
Yeah. Trip.
So Empire going light side. Nice. I like it.
Mm-hmm.
What is your favorite romanceable companion?
Quinn.
Oh, God.
Wow. Man, really?
Yep. No, I come from the Dragon Age side where all the romances are somewhat messed up. So, I mean, I like to hurt.
Wow. So now, you love him. Are you still going to, like, stab him in the back, though?
I have a chance to level up another warrior so that I can do both.
So you can do both? romancing and stabbing the back with one. I like it. Good job. So which weapon? Lightsaber or blaster?
Lightsaber.
Nice. Congrats. And that ends the rapid shot round. So I want to thank you, Ash, for being a part of the interview process. We're going to go along to little community extras here. But definitely thank you. Enjoyed having you in far as the interview side of things.
And if people want to find you, how can they get in contact with you or see what you do?
You can follow me on Twitter. I do that the most. It's at Lady Insanity. You can check out my channel at youtube.com/LadyXInsanity. And those are the two that are the best to find me. I also stream on Fridays. I started streaming on Fridays every Friday at 12 p.m. And, yeah, that's me.
Awesome. We'll definitely have all those links and ways that you can contact with Ash on our show notes. So now, Heather, I asked for a little things from you this week.
Yes, and so for you, all you story players that are trying to get into operations, we do have some quick tips for new operations players. So, first tip, know how to play your class. Practice on the dummy if you're a DPS. Train yourself in flashpoints because they're like mini operations and it's not as much pressure as an 8-man operation. Because you don't want to go into an operation, an 8-man raid, and just have no idea what you're doing or how to play your class. Second tip, if you don't have enough gear for story mode operations, get into a group finder operation because it will bolster your gear. And, you know, these operations, they do have stories in themselves, which you'll definitely want to check out anyway. So.
Well, the group finder is also nice because it gives you some good comms to help you get better gear. So.
Yes. Tip 3, prepare yourself beforehand. If you're lucky, your group will actually tell you what to do in a fight, but good luck with that. It's better to just be familiar with it. So read guides about different boss fights or watch videos or streams. My personal favorites for guides and videos are the written guides on Dolphy, which are mostly written by Zors. And for videos, also Zors. My guild does ours, but we're like late in comparison.
I like Bolt. Bolt puts out some really good ones too.
Yeah, and Death and Taxes, when they if you can still catch their videos on Twitch, they had a DPS assassin on their team, so of course I watch those.
Nice.
So tip 4, tell your group if you're unfamiliar with a fight or you haven't done it before, because no one, you know, you don't want to lie to them. You don't want to go in saying, oh, yeah, I know this, and then you screw up the whole operation, you know,
you screw up the whole fight.
So don't pretend to know something if you don't. Tip 5, if they tell you to get in voice comms, get in voice comms. It's much easier to tell a new player what to do over voice than spend time typing things out because, you know what, they're probably trying to heal you instead of typing get out of there.
Well, it's also a lot easier. I mean, once I got into doing voice, especially with operations and stuff like that, it is so much easier to be able to know exactly what to do and stuff like that. Like, hey, get out, stupid idiot. Jason, move. You're dying.
All right. Tip 6, look out for guilds that are recruiting that run operations and are willing to teach. There are a ton of guilds out there. I mean, they're not all top-tier progression guilds, but there's a lot of guilds that will teach how to do these operations. They're willing to, you know, to show others that are new to the game how to do these. So I would look out for those. You can find them on Fleet, on Slotor forums, on Reddit, social media, maybe. And then last tip, work as a team. If everyone else is focus firing something, don't run off to be a hero and do something else. Or, you know, don't ignore what your healers are telling you, or just work with your operation team.
Exactly. Those are some very good tips there. You know, definitely want to work as a team. That is important. But we will have all those tips on the show notes as well. And thank you, Heather, very much for that. I appreciate that. So if you are a guild looking to maybe get your guild noticed and possibly, you know, have an ad or anything for your guild put on here, maybe you're recruiting. Maybe you're looking for somebody that is wanting to learn operations, or maybe you're needing somebody to fill a specific role for an operation. Why not contact us about being on a guild ready check? If you're interested, send us an email at carillionrun@gmail.com or heather@prettylittlesith.com. And want to thank to all those guilds who have contacted us, and stay tuned for new guild ready checks. Don't forget about any of the great articles we have on CR this week. You can also, we want to definitely take a moment to give us a positive feedback on iTunes, and you can subscribe to our podcast on iTunes or your favorite podcast.
Yeah, and quick shout out to the Escape Podcast on their 100th episode.
Woo!
Yes, congratulations to Max and Seema. I got to check that out, their 100th episode. That is awesome. They were able to do that. 100 episodes. Congrats to them and the Escape Podcast. And we will definitely, thank you for reminding me of that, Heather. But definitely we'll put a link to their site and their Twitch, because they stream that too. So that's something, if you want to listen to them, you can go to their podcast, or you can definitely check out their Twitch channel.
Yeah, and if you'd like to contact us or have any questions or ideas for discussion topics, email us at CorellianRun@gmail.com. You can also follow and tweet us on Twitter at CorellianRun. My personal Twitter handle is @Heather_PLS, and Jason is @JT_HollowNet. If you're on Facebook, like our Facebook page and or join our Facebook group. You can also leave a voicemail for us on our website, www.CorellianRun.com, or on our Facebook page that could possibly be featured on the show. Finally, if you'd like to be a writer or submit content for our website, send an email to Jason, and he's Jason@CorellianRun.com.
That's going to wrap it up for us at Corellian Run Radio. Thanks for all our fans, followers, and those loyal listeners, especially the ones in the chat room. Appreciate that. Once again, want to thank Ash for joining us today as our special guest.
Thank you for having me. I really appreciate it.
Oh, anytime. And thank you for being a part of the SWTOR community. And until next time, I'm Jason.
I'm Heather. May the Force be with you. Or keep those blasters by your side, kid.
You've been listening to Corellian Run Radio, a Star Wars The Republic podcast. Tune in next time to hear Heather say,
"That's not a Togruta."
And transmission.